Hello, and welcome to COJ Roleplaying. My name is Eric, and I will not be your Dungeon Master today, because we are not playing Dungeons & Dragons. I will, in fact, be your Keeper of Arcane Lore, or simply, the Keeper. Because today, we are diving into the Eldritch Horror, which is Call of Cthulhu. We are going to be playing a bunch of different games on COJ Roleplaying, and Call of Cthulhu will be our second in the series of games we're playing. And not only are we playing a new game today, we have a brand new player. Say hello, Kate. Take yourself off mute, Kate.
Hello. I know, it's like a mad dash there. I'm like, okay, where's my mouse? Hello.
Welcome, Kate.
Our players will be investigators, not adventurers. So everyone, I will call you out, and please introduce yourself and your investigator, starting with Goose.
Hi, everybody. I'm Goose. I am playing Harold Sullivan. I'm a parapsychologist.
Excellent. Steve.
My name's Steve, and I'll be playing Dorian Dunn, a Irish bare-knuckle boxer.
Excellent. Mark.
I'm Mark, and I've got Donald Kennedy, a World War I pilot, and I forgot to watch Boston movies for the accent this weekend, so my accent may come and go.
Fantastic. Graham.
Hi, everyone. I'm Graham. I'm playing a psychologist and relationship counselor named Conrad Klein.
Fantastic. And we will finish where we started. Kate.
Hi, I'm Dorothy, or Dottie, and I'm a freelance journalist.
Excellent. All right. So, we're pulling out of the modern day, and we are going back to 1920s Boston. You are all gathering up in a diner in Boston. You've been called by Mr. Knott. Some of you actually know Mr. Knott. Well, one of you does. The rest of you have been contacted concerning an investigation that he has. As he comes in, he does note his good friend, Mr. Donald Kennedy, over at a booth. And he figures this must be all the investigators. So he ambles over and gives Donald a hearty, warm handshake. It's good to see you, Donald. It's been a while.
You as well.
He pulls up a chair because, well, there's five of you, and that's a lot of booth space. And he sits down and says, I have a problem. One of my properties, 20 Sheaf Street, has a history. What I think is probably a very unfair history. And as a result, I can't rent it to anybody. I think that someone, possibly someone's, in the greater Boston area, are trying to muscle in on my real estate business. And that this is the first of many opportunities they're going to take to try to steal my properties out from under me by making them basically worthless so they can come in, undercut me, and buy them out from underneath me and ruin me. All I know is the previous tenants have gone stark raving mad and are locked up in the asylum. Something about a presence. I don't know. I really don't want to know about their craziness. But I do understand that Mr. Sullivan here is a parapsychologist, and my accountant assured me that if I got a reputable parapsychologist to come in and give the house a good bill of health, that would go a long way to assuaging fears that this place is actually haunted.
Haunted.
Mr. Klein, I was kind of informed by the sanitarium that you might have a connection to these people.
Yes. First, can you tell me what happened to their children?
I believe their children are with relatives.
Oh, that's good.
Done. You were acquainted with them, and you're also a journalist. I have the feeling you might be good at digging into things, so that's why I sent you a message. Quite frankly, Mr. Dunn's size kind of speaks for itself. If there's danger around here, I think he'll be okay to help you out. And my good friend Donald, during the war, we had each other's backs. I trust you to make sure that there's no funny business going on.
Yes, Steve.
Now, to help you guys out, because, none of you are actually private investigators, I found a guy. He's over there by the counter. Oh, hey, Jimmy, come over here. Yeah, this is Jimmy Durant. He's a private investigator of sorts. He's had a bit of a run of bad luck with some of his cases, but he's got some experience, and he's kind of cheap right now. So Jimmy's going to help you guys out. Jimmy comes over, and you can see he's got a bit of a shadow on his cheeks. He kind of looks like that cup of coffee in his hand got a little Irished up. He's coming off of a drinking last night, and he's not looking his best. He might be giving you pointers, but he also might be doing a little bit of sleeping, too. He looks, he says, I'm getting put you in that direction. But, yeah, you guys are going to have to do most of the reading yourselves. I'm pretty tired.
I see.
All right.
So Mr. Knott looks at you all and says, now, I'm going to start you guys off with what I think is a pretty good deal here. I'm going to give everyone about $7.50 a day plus an advance of $10 each. Now, all for right. reference, in 1920s Boston, a day's work is $5. And he's offering you all quite a bit more than that to get started.
Sure, we'll find it is just somebody messing with you.
Absolutely. I mean, it's either that or, you know, someone thinks that they can just scare off tenants and maybe live in the upstairs for free or something. I don't know. I mean, who actually, well, maybe aside from Mr. Sullivan, believes in ghosts? That's what I thought. Nobody. Exactly. Okay. So, I'm going to leave you with
the things and ghosts.
Yeah, well, yeah, tell me about it. All those grouts. Now, I'm going to leave you in the capable hands of Mr. Durant here, and I got to get back to tending my real estate businesses. Mr. Knott gives you all your advance and pays for your morning coffee.
Oh, nice.
As a goodwill show, and he's on his way out. So Jimmy just takes over Mr. Knott's chair, and he's kind of slumps over and says, well, you know, there's a couple of ways you can start. There's see if Boston Globe, they might have some killed stories on the house. And this kind of perks up to you, Dottie. Boston Globe has what they call the morgue, which is where stories go to die. So, potentially, you might be able to talk your way into the morgue. Now, you know, in fact, that people who are not staff members do not have direct access to the morgue. So that means you're going to have to talk to somebody there and maybe get yourself in. There's also the central library. They kind of have like back issues of the local papers and whatnot. You might be able to find some backdated articles there. And there's also the Hall of Records. If you find any information, you might be able to look up on some information on addresses or businesses or associations, stuff like that. But this is your investigation. I'm just kind of giving you a point. I said, you know, you guys talk it over. Decide what you want to do. I'll just be here waiting for you to decide.
Well, I'd like to go to the Hall of Records and see if there's anything particular about the property itself.
Yeah.
That's where I usually to start off on an investigation.
What do you guys think?
Should we take a look at the house?
Should we perk up a little? Yeah, you can go take a look on the outside, but, you know, before you go trying to give it a clean bill of health, we're getting paid by the day here, so you know, we're in not a rush. We got to make sure we do a thorough job to make sure that if we say it's good, it's good.
Did Mr. Knott give us a deadline by which he wants to be able to give his house a clean bill of health?
He has not, but you're under the impression that if you start stretching this out too long, you're probably going to get a phone call suggesting that you hurry yourselves up.
Don't milk it.
Yeah. He'll trust you until he has reason to not trust you anymore.
Do we know of any competitors in the real estate business that Mr. Knott might be leaning towards, that might be trying to shove him out of the business?
Do any of you know any people in the real estate business other than Mr. Knott? No, probably not. That seems unlikely.
Unlikely.
Now, Keeper, just giving you guys a little push, you may not have enough information to go to the Hall of Records just yet.
Well, Mr. Knott mentioned sanitarium, did he not?
He did. He did, actually.
Well, I think I might know.
Are you thinking of a certain letter that might be in your pocket right now?
I'm thinking of a certain letter that I should perhaps take a look at.
Oh, very well. Well, Mr. Klein, I believe a letter is in your pocket.
Very good. Sec here. All right. I do have a lead that I can chase down, I think, that would be a benefit to this effort, but you all must understand I must respect doctor-patient confidentiality.
That's fine.
Discretion is at your discretion. You can give information. It's not entirely...
I don't have much to say at the present time, but I'm going to have to go check on something.
I'd still like to go to the Hall of Records to find out about the property itself, like what it was prior to house being built on it, stuff like that.
Yeah, maybe we can make that stop two or stop three.
If it was an old gravesite, that could explain the ghosts they're seeing.
I will say in advance, looking at the Hall of Records or the Central Library, doing an investigation there is a half day's time.
Okay.
So going there with nothing up front, not saying you can't, but going there with nothing in mind of what you're looking for specifically that would be a particular lead, like grasping for straws and stuff like that, could lead to a wasted half day before you actually have something to look for.
We could go see my old friends that lived in the house, assuming they'd be in the asylum.
Yeah, the asylum, Roxbury Asylum, is located just outside of Boston.
I vote we go to the hospital and talk to the loons.
I like it.
So looks like we've got a 3-4 to 1 for the Roxbury Asylum.
All right, the more the merrier, I guess.
Yep.
Okay. Not a problem at all.
Now, is it Dottie? You said you were friends with Vittorio. I'm going to make sure I'm saying this right. Vittorio and Gabriella.
Yeah. Yes, I was friends with Gabriella from school days and everything like that. So we've been some pretty close friends through the years.
Okay. Does anyone have a car? Do you think any of you actually own a car? And I will say it's 8 to 9 out of 100 people own a car in 1920.
Well, there's got to be some sort of... We got to the diner in some...
There are taxis.
Street cars.
There's modes of transit, so if you guys want to hail a cab and get yourselves out to Roxbury, you can. That's a reasonable day-to-day expense. I'm not going to be charged, and I'm not going to be grabbing your cash for that.
Get an Uber.
I feel like Dottie would have a vehicle. Would you?
Well, no, Dottie is not wealthy. Dottie's dad is wealthy.
That's true.
Dottie loves her dearly. Yes, you might be able to borrow a car from Daddy, but Dottie does not own a car of her own because I've seen what her wealth is. I know what your credit rating is, and it's not car owning. The closest one of you to having a car is the Xboxer, but a lot of his money's tied up in Ireland.
Well, I guess we're cabbing then.
It's not too hard to hail a cab. You can get yourselves driven out to Roxbury Asylum just outside Boston. Round trip, this is probably going to take you 2-3 hours. You head out to Roxbury, arrive at the front door, and find your way inside. There's a front desk attendant. Yes, can I help you?
Excuse me, my name, Dr. Klein. I'm here to see Dr. Steinberg.
He's expecting you?
Yes, he is.
Okay, well, give me a moment and I'll see if I can find him. The attendant goes off to find Dr. Steinberg. A few minutes later, a middle-aged gentleman, slightly balding a little, shows up and says, Conrad Klein. Dr. Klein? Excellent. I'm Dr. Steinberg. Why don't you come see me in my office and we can talk? Are the rest of these people with you?
They are. I will leave it up to you as to what information you would like to discuss.
Right, well, come with me and we won't talk about this out in the hallway.
Okay.
He leads you into the back and to his office, and there's not enough chairs for everyone, but, you know, it's a little cozy in here. He doesn't have the biggest office, and, you know. So, how well do you know the Macarios?
Well, they were my patients a few years ago, and I was able to assist them overcoming some difficulties in the relationship to strengthen their marriage. However, I have not counseled them in about 2 years.
Now, I would be very surprised if you had. Better part of the last 2 years, they've been here. Do any of you know the Macarios?
No.
I've known Gabriella for quite some time.
You have? Okay. Well, that might help. Tell me, Dr. Klein, Miss... What's your name, Miss?
Dottie.
Dottie, okay. Would either of you said that you would have thought that they were, I don't know, had a tendency towards suffering from extreme delusions, night terrors... Things of those nature.
None of that was apparent in my previous dealings with them. And I assure you, I was quite thorough.
Quite thorough, yeah. Because right now, we basically have to keep Vittorio by himself. He's a danger to everyone around him. And Gabriella, she can be around people, but we try to talk to her about the inciting incident. We can get a little bit into talking about it when we start trying to push back to earlier than the actual day in which they were both brought to the asylum. She shuts right down. We just barely found out that you once were her doctor. She's been here for almost 2 years. It's slow going. Any insight you might have.
My word, this is disturbing to hear, doctor.
It really is.
You mentioned an incident. Is there any information on this incident?
Would you like to see their intake?
I would like to review their record, yes.
Oh, absolutely. Okay. So,
if you don't mind, Doctor, I'd like to also review the records.
All right, if you insist. Who are you?
I'm Harold Sullivan. I'm a parapsychologist.
Parapsychologist. You see, he does a little bit of calculating into his head as to what exactly that means. He stops for a second, and he takes a look at Conrad. Cocks an eyebrow.
While this may be a bending of your ethical standards, at this point, it seems that very little harm could be done to these patients by letting somebody else see their records.
I suppose. Their extended family was quite clear that they don't want a lot of people finding out the nature of what's going on.
If it makes you feel better, Doctor, the people in this room are all aware that there has been... While we're not aware of the nature of the incident, we are all aware that something has happened to cause this. So the information, if you're concerned, is the horse is out of the barn, as the saying goes.
Give me a persuade with bonus. Okay. He invited you here, and he is somewhat trusting. So if you can give me a persuade with a bonus die on it, and let me know if you...
How does the bonus die work?
So you roll an extra tens die, and you get to take the lowest one that you want. Roll 3d10 and take the lowest.
Okay. All right, well, I got a 12 and a 22.
That sounds like a hard success or an extreme success?
My persuade is 50, 25, and 10, so it's just above the 10, so it would be
hard success.
A half.
Okay. He looks at you. All right. I will let you. And so I'm going to drop one to Graham, and I'm going to drop the other to Goose.
Okay.
Because I have two files to hand out. Now, I want you to share the files with everyone else because they can't read them.
Okay. I'll go first, Goose. So April 7th, 1918, psychological evaluation by Dr. Steinberg. The patient, Gabriella Macario, is a 31-year-old female who has been admitted to our facility under the claim that she was terrorized by a haunting in her house. Her husband, Vittorio Macario, was apprehended by police and admitted with the patient. Dear God, these poor kids. The patient is lying in bed and staring at the ceiling, but otherwise she is still. Her eyes are open, but she seems somewhat detached from the world around her. Her facial expression seems somewhat sullen and distant. Patient's skin is pale and movements are slow, but show no aggressive or violent behavior signs. Her body language suggests that she is in a state of shock. She appears to be trembling with some degree of anxiety. Gabriella has been experiencing hallucinations and delusions, which have escalated recently. She feels as though a shadowy presence watches her at night, and she sometimes hears objects drifting around the house. She's convinced that some supernatural and evil force causes these events. She has become convinced that the cause of these events is an evil force that targets her husband, Vittorio. She believes this force wants them dead and that the two of them are in danger if they remain in their house. Based on the patient's description of her symptoms, my first impression is that the patient is suffering from classic sleep paralysis, characterized by vivid dreams and waking up unable to move or react due to the sensation of being paralyzed. This sensation is often accompanied by hallucinations or delusions that can lead the patient to think that he or she is being attacked by an outside entity, such as a ghost, during the day. Trying to get more information about what happened during the time leading up to her admission is difficult. When I try to push her, she gets visibly upset, becomes silent, and withdraws from her surroundings. I recommend we employ a therapeutic approach in which Gabriella is afforded an opportunity to vent and express her feelings, but not be made to discuss any event against her will. Initially, I will avoid the use of medication unless it becomes absolutely necessary.
April 7th, 1918. The following is a psychological evaluation by Dr. Steinberg at Roxbury Sanitarium. The patient in question is how do you pronounce his name?
Vittorio Macario.
A 38-year-old male who has been admitted to our facility under the claim that he was terrorized by a haunting in his house. Mr. Macario was brought to the asylum after attacking policemen that were called to his house by concerned neighbors, who reported strange sounds and screams coming from the house. Upon admission, Mr. Macario was unkempt and wearing a dirty button-up shirt and torn blue jeans. He was clutching a small Bible to his chest and appears to be altering between chanting from it and muttering softly to himself. His speech is slightly slurred, but mostly comprehensible. Upon my initial evaluation of him, Mr. Macario appeared to be affected by terror or psychotic reaction. Upon admittance, his first words were, "The devil is there in that house." This statement is followed by a very strong and agitated reaction. When asked to clarify what he meant by the statement, Vittorio answered that there was a demon in the house, and it was tormenting him day and night. He further explained that he had been receiving terrible dreams that kept him awake at night. He then began humming and talking to himself. Vittorio seemed to be affected by intense terror and an acute delusional psychosis. He would not stop clasping his Bible and quoting from the passage, "By his own weapon is the devil's worst." Further questioning clarified that Vittorio had moved into the house only a month earlier with Gabriella. Spouse also admitted. They had noticed strange things from day one, noises from nowhere, items disappearing and turning up in different places, and scratches from the basement. It is clear that Vittorio has severe mental illness at this time. Patient presents with several symptoms of mental illness, including delusional and auditorial hallucinations. These symptoms are consistent with the patient's account of encountering a monster in his house. He claimed to have seen strange and terrifying humanoid creatures in his house. These hallucinations had a profound effect on his behavior and state of mind, causing him to attack police officers as they entered the house to check on his well-being. Due to his condition, the patient is unable to provide any further information at this time. The patient should be treated with a course of medication as well as held in solitary confinement due to his violent tendency. Damn it, Eric, don't let me do that again.
You did great.
I don't read good.
Don't worry. I'll pick on everybody before this investigation is over.
All right. So the description of these, the findings as pertains to these two patients could not be further apart from my own findings when I treated them. So
that quite frankly, I mean, that is surprising. I mean, I suppose they could have suffered some sharp psychotic break, but
well,
it seems strange, but it's not the strangest thing I've seen. And quite frankly, I work in a sanitarium, so I mean, I see strange things all the day. All day. There's three Napoleons just down the hallway.
We've all seen some strange things. Anyways, have you thought about, for Vittorio, perhaps an insulin-induced coma, electroshock therapy, hydrotherapy baths? For me to tell you how to treat your patients here, but it seems that if it's been 2 years and not a lot of progress has been made, more drastic actions should be considered.
Well, we're open to trying new things. The family has really doesn't like the idea of electroshock. I think it's been getting a bit of a bad rep within the sanitarium community. So they're very much against that. Right now we have him fairly medicated. I mean, people can see him. He does have to be a bit restrained. If you would like to see the patients, that's not out of the realm of possibility. Gabriella, she can be out in an open ward with other patients at the moment. Vittorio, as is in the report, and as I said earlier, we've had to keep him confined for the most part, but we can bring him out. I mean, we do have an orderly who wheels him around in a chair so that he can get some clean, fresh air every day and whatnot, but you're more than welcome to have a bit of a chat. I would warn you not to get too close to Vittorio in case he has a violent reaction. For Gabriella, try not to push her too much. She has a tendency of shutting down. If that starts happening, everyone's going to have to leave. And she's going to need to go back to her room just in case. I mean, she hasn't tried to hurt herself, but we really don't want her to either.
I would like to speak with Gabriella.
Okay.
If I can. Dottie, do you think you'd be able to accompany me? She may respond to you being an old friend.
I would love to see Gabby again.
That could be arranged. We do have a bit of a common space where you can go wait outside maybe if you prefer, if you're not really up for meeting the patients. You don't really know them. an orderly comes and escorts the three of you to the common outdoor area. They have a nice one. It's got a nice little garden for patients to sit around. There's a little pond there, some fish in it. Actually, no, it's January. Never mind. No one's going outside into the...
Not in Boston.
Sorry, I forgot what year, time of the year it was. It's Boston, and it's January. No one's out there. There's a little cafeteria that the staff can use and whatnot. So you can get a cup of coffee or something like that. You two get taken to an open ward. There's tables, some couches. Dr. Steinberg leads you to a table where there's a woman slowly doing a puzzle by herself. Both of you would not at first recognize Gabriella. She's deteriorated some in the last 2 years. She's a bit gaunter. Her hair seems a bit more strung out. She's stressed out, but you sit down. She looks at you, and you can see the recollection in her eyes. She knows who you both are. She says, Dottie. Dottie. We never went and got coffee again, Dottie. She's calm, but you see that she recognizes you.
I'll let Dottie talk first.
I grab Gabriella's hand. Oh, honey, it is me. It is Dottie. How have you been? How are you?
Oh, not good. No, not good. Yeah, no, that's not good. That house.
What about that house? What happened?
See, her eyes just start to go back a little. Like, she's going back into a place of pain at the moment. I mean, it was bad. I put a bowl down on a table, and then I leave the room, and I come back, and that's on the counter, and then, like, I put a picture on a table, and then it's on the mantelpiece 10 minutes later. Something, you know, like, flew, like, 5 feet across the room, and my back is turned, and the kids are upstairs in the room. And I don't know. And then Vittorio, like, it's hurting him. It hated him. These red eyes. She just kind of stops.
Gabriella, do you remember me? It's Dr. Klein. I helped you and your husband.
Yes.
I helped you understand the role of wife and mother. Helped you to become a better mother for your children. Better wife for your husband.
She just slowly nods her head. She gets it. Yeah.
Do you miss your kids, Gabriella?
Of course. Why wouldn't I miss my kids? But it's not safe out there for me. I didn't care about the kids.
Do you care about the kids?
Of course.
Would you like to see them again?
I would love to, but I can't leave here. It's not safe.
Why can't you leave here?
It's not safe. Just keep saying it's not safe when you ask that question.
What would you say, Gabriella, if I told you that somebody else wants to move into that house?
She just starts breathing heavily and starts rocking a little back and forth. This is an upsetting idea to her.
No one is moving into that house. Why should the house stay empty?
It shouldn't stay empty. It should burn to the ground. Burn to the ground. Salt the ashes. Burn to the ground.
Can you tell us more about the red eyes? Who had red eyes?
It had red eyes. And she stops looking at either of you. Now she's just looking not at the puzzle and not at the table, but just like through it. She's not looking at anything. You're starting to lose her.
Okay, so I'll pat her on the hand and say, it's good to see you, Gabriella. I hope to see you again soon, and maybe we can help bring you back to a place where you feel safe.
She just rocks a little, but she's not looking at either of you. She's pretty much done. This is very traumatic for her to go through.
Okay. I guess we'll go back to Dr. Steinberg.
He's waiting on the outside of the... He didn't leave you alone with her. In the event that she started getting very upset, he was going to ask you to leave. Do you want to see Vittorio? I'm not sure you'll get much out of him, but...
So the police were called, you said, to their house, and that's how they eventually came to be in your custody.
That is correct, yes.
As part of police investigations, they should have done an inspection of the house. Is that correct?
To some degree, yeah, they did go in there. I don't have a police report of any kind. I just got notified that You know, there was a disturbance in the house. There was, you know, like things were in disarray, but that was the place.
Police looked around the house. They would maybe not done a detailed examination, but I wonder if
they went in, they found the Macarios and they found the children and they pulled, they made an assessment that the Macarios needed to come here. And then they brought the children to the police station, found relatives and contacted them.
Have you done a toxicology workup of the Macarios?
It's 1920, Graham.
I wonder if they both ingested something that has caused this hallucination.
It is possible. I mean, we're a bit past, like, humors and whatnot, but, I mean, it's possible there's something that was in their bedroom and whatnot that we don't know about. But
well, think about it this way. The children are not affected.
The children did not require to stay here. They weren't happy in the house, but that might be very well because their parents were suffering. And it's hard to say. The children should not have been brought here unless they were in real trouble. We didn't want them. One, we wanted to keep them away from the danger that their father represents, for one, and their mother is not entirely stable, and we didn't want that affecting them moving forward.
The state would have taken responsibility in this case. I just wonder if perhaps a contaminated food that they ate, maybe a bottle of wine, was laced with some foul substance that the children would not have been exposed to.
It's entirely possible. I don't have a catalog of what the police may or may not have found in the house. I mean, it's an Italian family. They definitely have wine.
Yes, that's where I'm going with this. So I think we have enough to go on here today.
Okay. Well, very well.
Dottie, ma'am, if you have any other questions you'd like to ask?
She really wants to see Vittoria before she leaves, but okay. No more questions, really.
Dr. Klein, do you want to come and see Vittoria as well, or?
Yes, I would like to see. I would accompany her, yes.
Okay. The orderly here is going to escort you to a room, and we'll bring Vittoria to you. So you're escorted to not a big room, but a room where there's enough space where they can wheel him in and you can have a chat with them. You wait for a few minutes and they wheel in Vittorio, and you notice that he's bound across the waist and his legs are bound to the chair. It's just so he can't get up and
so.
On his own. His arms are free, so let's warn you, do not get too close. He could reach out. And he's clutching his Bible close to his chest. And he's medicated. Oh. You can see the look in his eye. He's a little glassy.
Okay.
There's a part of him that's there. He's not gone. There is still a person there.
Vittorio, it's Dr. Klein. You remember me. I'm here with Gabriella's friend, Dottie. You remember her?
He doesn't answer you. He just kind of opens his Bible and starts turning pages. And then he holds it tight, and then he turns more pages. And he starts reading passages. And he gets to one in particular, and he says, "By his own weapon is the devil worsted." And he just keeps on going.
Okay, so that's the only one he spoke?
That's the one that you recall being in the report.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah. He is not a well man. He is very, very unwell.
Well, poor man. I wonder what sort of foul poison, mercury, or some toxic substance could have done this to a man. Like, that's the most likely explanation. I'll have to do a little bit of research to confirm my theory, but for now, I think that they've ingested something that has affected them both on a fundamental level in the brain chemistry.
Dr. Steinberg, that is an excellent lead to try to pursue. That does kind of fit some of the that might fit some of what we're seeing here. If you can find anything, please, we'd be very eager to find out if you can discover anything from their home.
I'll keep you in the loop of what I find. Unless Dottie, this may be upsetting for you to see your friend's husband in this condition. Unless, I don't know, if you've got any suggestions.
Oh, my dear sweet Vittorio. She sheds a tear. Don't you recognize me, Vittorio?
There's a little bit of him that kind of looks up, notices you, gets a little bit of a smile, and then it just disappears. He goes back to clutching his Bible to his chest. He starts reciting parts of the Latin Mass, like the parts that he would hear every day, every Sunday in church.
Dottie just sobs.
At this point, Dr. Steinberg's like, we should probably get him back to his normal environment, and wheels him out and down the hallway and back to his room. I really don't have anything more I can offer you in the way of information about them. This is the fact that we've gotten as far as we have with Gabriella, the way she came in, is actually really, really quite, we've actually made progress with her. With Vittorio, he's, I'm afraid he might have had a severe psychotic break, and I'm not sure they'll ever be able to reach him. Not with the methods that that are making the family comfortable anyway.
Well, I would suggest the next time you speak with the family, Dr. Steinberg, you get them to try the insulin-induced coma, at least for Vittorio, and they maybe check on him again in 3 or 4 months.
Consider it.
All right, and we'll head back and find the others, I guess.
Very good. So if you're all done here, where would you like to go next? Jimmy has now had another cup of coffee. While none of you saw it, does kind of smell like he added a little bit of whiskey to it. So he's not having a bad day, all things considered. Where would you like to go next?
I think we really need to go check out the house.
You can. You absolutely can go to the house.
How far away?
You've been about an hour to get to the sanitarium. It was about an hour of talking and reading reports and waiting to see people and whatnot. And it'll be another hour to get back into Boston proper. So it'll have been about 3 hours.
So I guess we'll, on the trip back, we'll inform the others.
Absolutely.
And I'll ask if anyone knows anything about this, why that particular passage from the Bible might have any significance to a poor victim of some toxic substance.
Now, would Harold come across that in his past? Anything, that specific passage?
It's a verse from the Bible. Something seems to be something he's latched onto.
Okay.
Without any extra context, not really, no. It's just a Bible passage. All right. So you all drive into Boston proper, and you drive to the neighborhood where 20 Sheep Street is, and you notice something as you're approaching the house. The house is actual only residential property in this general area. It's a well-sized house, but what's around it seems to be mostly businesses. You can kind of see that the house itself seems a lot older than a lot of the businesses here, and across the street, the one of the most notable businesses around is across the street and just down a little, there's a little newspaper and cigar stand.
Ah.
And Mr. Knott gave you guys a key to the house. You can get in if you want.
Okay.
So no one has been in the house since the incident with the cops?
Mr. Knott may have gone in.
No, it hasn't been rented out prior or after the incident.
He can't. As soon as he tries to put it up as the idea of a rental property, no one's coming anywhere near it. So, no. He hasn't even had a chance to have it cleaned up.
Oh.
The negative reaction to the idea of people renting this house is so much that he hasn't even bothered to clean it, have it cleaned out yet.
All right. So I will share my theory that I think that they, for lack of a better thing, drank some, ingested a foreign substance of some sort, a toxin or a poison, something that would not have been available to the children, so maybe contaminated wine, salad dressing, something like that.
Do we know how old the kids are?
Well, if they're in their 30s, kids should be pretty young.
Mm-hmm.
Kids are probably, what, like 9 and 7 or something?
Something along those lines. Somewhere in, like, preteen, but before, they're not yet the teenagers. Let's put it that way.
Okay.
Because Dottie's been, like, affiliated with the Macarios for so long, is it possible that she could get in touch with the people that are taking care of the kids now?
You could. You know that Gabrielle didn't have any family locally, or any additional family locally. Vittorio had family in Baltimore. That's probably where the kids are. You absolutely can go and see the kids, but it's a day's worth of time.
Phone call?
Not everybody has a phone.
Okay.
Telegrams?
You could, but, I mean, asking questions via telegram is very expensive. Very expensive.
I should know what Vittorio did for a living.
I'm going to say that Vittorio was a factory worker. Not heavy machinery, but maybe...
on the shop.
Actually, no, not maybe on the warehouse side. In point of fact, while it has not yet taken effect, prohibition is just around the corner, and everybody knows it. That is just as a point of the times and whatnot.
All right, so...
Dorian's going to walk over to the newspaper stand and buy a newspaper and chit-chat with the...
Okay.
So what time of day is it now? Is it around lunchtime?
Yeah, it is around... It's more closer to lunchtime than it would be anything else. After you've taken a look at the house, you may want to actually go get some food. So you walk up the guy there. He's got a newspapers and cigars.
I'm going to buy a cigar and a newspaper, hand him whatever I need to, and just be like, so rumor has it the place across the road there has been empty for a couple years.
Yeah, it's been empty for a while.
It's got a nice house.
Oh, yeah, that's a great house. It's got a bit of a reputation, though, I mean, quite honestly. It looks nice on the outside, but I don't think I'd ever live there.
Oh, really? Like, what kind of reputation? What's going on?
Well, I mean, the last guy who was in there was, like, arrested for going into a violent rage. They said he was, like, covered in blood and stuff, and his family was inside, terrified, and hauled him off to the sanitarium. I mean, that's some crazy stuff. Hmm. That's the kind of thing that, you know, I mean, I'm not believing that stuff, but that's, like, you know, bad stuff, man.
He pulls the cross out from under his shirt, kissing it, like, oh, it's dangerous things.
Exactly, yeah. I mean, I don't believe in, like, ghosts and stuff, but, I mean, talk about, like, he was crazy stuff. He said his house was haunted. I mean, ghosts, right? I mean, nonsense is that, but, I mean, yeah. You hear that about one house, maybe it's not worth it.
What about the people that were there before?
Before them? That's a bit before my time. I've only, this stand's only been up for about 3 years.
Oh, okay.
It's not a bad spot. I mean, there's lots of businesses around here. People need their own newspaper. People like a nice cigar.
I'm thank pretty you very much.
Exactly, man.
All right, well, thanks a lot.
Hey, no problem. Hey, come back, buy more cigars.
You might see me again.
Hey, awesome.
Dorian will turn back and light his cigar and walk back over to the group with his newspaper. The building has a reputation, and we know it, so I didn't find out anything other than get my newspaper. I'm going to, lean against a light post and open up paper and smoke my cigar, and I'm going to flip to the want ads and try and find other rental property magnates that might be trying to find names of people that could potentially be trying to sink Mr. Knott.
So as you go to the the available
classifieds.
What you're finding is a lot of, hey, 3-bedroom, 1-bathroom, wood stove heating, and or boiler water heating and stuff like that. Not a lot of people's names attached to the adverts,
but
there'd be someone to contact.
Yeah, if this number is the same as this number is the same as this number, then I could be like, okay, that's somebody.
Yeah, you get like generic company names, like LDH Real Estate Holdings or MKD Rentals.
Okay, I'll just I'll ask the private eye if he's got a pen I could borrow. I just sort of circle things so that I can look into it when I've got time.
Absolutely, yeah.
And I'm going to enjoy my cigar. I'll let you guys play around with the demon house.
Can we go into the house?
Yeah.
I want to check out the basement. They mentioned scratching coming from the basement, so.
Well, actually, the large gentleman makes a good point. I didn't consider one of the other vectors that the Karyos could have been contaminated by was smoking. Certainly the children would have been smoking, but perhaps their cigarettes were laced with cyanide or some other horrible poison that affected their minds.
Yep, there. Yeah, you can walk over to the house, sure. The key does unlock the front door.
Jimmy's got the key, our private eye friend.
Sure, yeah, Jimmy's got the key. He does suggest that perhaps if the muscle might want to come in case there's, trouble in the house.
Squatters.
Like maybe there's squatters or vagrants or whatnot.
We will contact the constabulary if that is the case. They can deal with these ruffians.
As you're walking into the house, Jimmy does remind you that we're going to need more than just this to close this out. Like, we've got a couple sanitarium reports.
Yes, well, I believe I have the solution. So we just need to look around for some clues. While the police do a fine job of patrolling and protecting the streets, they don't have the advanced knowledge that would be required to solve a medical mystery of this nature.
Right. You walk into the house, and there's a main hallway that you step into. There's several rooms that branch off to the left and right. Is there a room in particular that you want to find?
Conrad, you'd be looking for where the booze is, where the cigarettes would be kept, food, as well as the other thought is maybe it was lead in the pipes, maybe there, maybe the bathroom the kids used and the bathroom they used, there's something different.
All right. Well, the kitchen seems to be at the end of the hallway.
All right.
Harold is going to be looking for supernatural-esque evidence.
Okay.
Not the typical old, he's been drugged, that's why he's going nuts.
You hear a bit of scratching, like a little scratching coming from underneath the floorboards. You think about it for a second. Sounds like rodents. Yeah. Yeah, that's definitely rodents. You're not quite sure how big or what kinds. It could be mice, it could be rats. You don't know.
Mice, definitely rats, rodents. Maybe.
Raccoons.
Probably not. But yeah, it's some kind of rodent. You think?
All right.
2 years abandoned, I'm sure the rodentia have made this place their playground.
That is not something that would be out of the realm of possibility. But you recall that there were sounds of scratching. Rats, seems. That's a potential explanation there.
Well, Mr. Knott will have to contact an exterminator to deal with this infestation of vermin problem before he wants to put this back on the rental market.
Yeah. So you wanted to find your way to the kitchen?
Yes.
Dr. Klein?
Dr. Klein is going to, once the large gentleman has satisfied himself that there's no danger, we'll go to the kitchen and take a look around if we can collect any samples for further analysis.
In the kitchen, you find it's a standard kitchen for the 1920s. You know, there's an ice box, there's a wood-fed stove, an oven. There's not a big larder, but there's some canned goods in there that might probably still be edible after 2 years. Maybe some soup, meat, rice. In spite of the fact that they're Italian, they do seem to have some actual dry pasta. Yeah, I know. Hey, two kids, working family. You know, sometimes you're having a hard time. So, you know, it's a little crazy for an Italian person to have some dry pasta. I'll tell you that right now. But
1920s.
Yep. And anything that was fresh has spoiled or has been eaten by what looks like rodents, and by the size of the droppings, looks like rats.
So I would be, they would have gotten into whatever they could, but I would look for olive oil or other oils, wine and vinegar.
There does seem to be some homemade wine.
Okay. Oh, really? Homemade wine. Ah,
yes, homemade wine. You don't necessarily know if Vittorio would make his own wine, but it's homemade wine.
Oh, yeah, that's fine. So I'll pick up a couple of bottles and find a bag or something to put them in. Now, what about like cigarettes or cigars or tobacco products of some sort?
You're not seeing any evidence that either Gabriella or Vittorio were smokers.
Yeah, we should be able to smell it, right?
Yeah. You're not. You don't really smell anything. And I mean, people smoke all over, but Gabriella and Vittorio don't seem like smokers.
You can smell Dorian's cigar.
Yeah, and you get the feeling that probably Mr. Kennedy also probably smoked. If he was calming his nerves as a pilot, he's probably having some cool smokes. Or not. I'm just joking. I'll leave that up to Mr. Kennedy to decide whether or not he's a smoker.
So is there a role? What would it be? So I guess the only other thing that I would think to do is want to look around to see if there might be like a secret stash. Maybe Vittorio has like a secret stash of, I don't know, booze or hemp or something like that.
In this room, not really. The kitchen would be the most likely place to find alcohol. They seem to be just a wine drinking family. You don't see the dishes that would indicate someone's a drinker. Like you don't see tumblers in the kitchen.
Well, maybe he's just, swigging from the bottle, but okay.
I mean, anything's possible, but you're not seeing any evidence of that right here. you don't see any broken liquor bottles. You don't see liquor bottles sitting by, sitting in a corner or something like that, you know, anything like that. You see a couple of empty wine bottles, but that's about it.
Yeah, I'll grab them as well. And they're all the same, like the homebrew.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
All right. I'm satisfied for the moment.
Okay.
Can Dottie go check out the basement and use her spot hit, spot hidden?
You get to the basement door. It's at the end of the hallway. And it's... One of the things you notice about the basement door is that it has multiple locks on it. It seems to have a lock and three bolts on it, operated on this side. So you can open the bolts and locks if you want.
Yeah, I'd like to. Go take a gander.
You open up the door, and it is pitch black down there.
Hmm.
Matches? there might be some matches. There seems to be a switch next to you.
Oh, yeah. Well, I guess I'll try that first.
It doesn't work.
Okay. Well, then I think I'd like to ask Dorian for some matches.
There must be candles or stuff in the house.
Oh, yeah. There's probably some candles somewhere, yeah.
I'll look for a candle.
Yep, you can pull a candle out of the kitchen.
Perfect.
Dorian will light the candle. I'll go first, if you don't mind, miss.
You take a look at the stairs. The stairs are in extremely poor condition. Like, if you were to just walk down them, you'd probably fall. If you were just to walk down them like there are a normal set of stairs, you'd fall.
Okay, maybe...
You would definitely have to be very careful trying to navigate these stairs. You would think that if someone was actually... No one who lives in this house would be using this basement. Possibly there's a bunch of locks on there to keep the kids from going down to the basement and hurting themselves. Especially with the lights not working.
Yeah. I don't think any of us should really attempt these stairs at the moment.
How far down is it, really?
Yeah, I'm curious. I'm like, can I go through a window?
10 feet. There appears to be no light into the basement.
I said, okay, I guess the window then. Can I try walking down, like, on the very edge of the steps, so, like, not in the middle of them, to, like, try
If you do, you're going to have to do a dexterity check.
Okay.
And?
Yeah. Let's do that.
You can make a dexterity check.
Is that?
Tell me what you get.
Okay. Oh, wonderful. I got a 62, and it looks like my dexterity's 60, so that's a no-go.
So as you start going down, you realize that this is not safe, and you back up.
Okay. But I think it might just be good.
Good? Okay. Jimmy's just kind of wandering around the hallway, taking a look at the wallpaper.
Harold is going to do occult investigation, see if there's anything occult-wise in the house, other than the typical... cross and
where are you that you want to make an occult investigation? Do you have a space that you would like to go to make this investigation?
I'd like to do in the start in the bedroom.
Which bedroom would you like to go to?
Their bedroom.
Their bedroom? Okay.
Yeah.
You have to go upstairs for that.
Yeah.
Quick look seems to indicate that their bedroom is at the end of the hallway.
All right.
You go in there and you see crosses. Vote of candles.
Abnormally amount of crosses or typical cross over the door, maybe a candle?
It's more than that.
Or is it like cross on 50 crosses on each wall? And
not that many crosses, but it's more than usual. More okay. And, you know, more than one picture of the Virgin Mary, more than one votive to a saint. You can roll an occult roll here, sure. Go for it. Absolutely.
Ooh,
49. So that's you...
under my regular.
You take a... That's part of your regular?
That's under my regular, yeah.
Okay. So you take a moment, you center yourself in the room, and you take a look around for iconography. These people love Jesus and the Virgin Mary. The saints, too. They're nuts for Catholicism. That is the extent of the religiosity / occult that is in this room.
Yeah.
Is there anything that anyone else would like to do while you're here?
Yeah, I'd like to go upstairs, too, and look for hidden back doors in closets in the bedrooms.
Yeah, you can do that. You can go to, since Harold's in the master bedroom, you can take a look in the kids' bedroom. What you notice is that The rooms. Well, do a spot hidden. I'll make your work for it.
Nope.
The dimensions seem to work out. You're looking at the room and you're like, no, no. The wall seems about that far. Average wall thickness, interior and exterior. Seems to work out. Doesn't look like there's any unused space here.
All right, kids' bedroom clear.
Yeah.
Moving along.
You can check out the master bedroom. Go ahead, do a spot hidden.
Right.
Devil sitting on their bed.
Oh, there we go. Extreme success.
Extreme success, wow.
Nice.
Yay.
Now,
she really got
Eric,
an eye for corners this time.
Do you want to explain what the extreme success is?
Extreme success is your 1/5 value.
Yes.
He means
to
for the podcast,
that,
not to
him. People that haven't played
yes.
Call of Cthulhu?
Exactly. Okay. Those of you who haven't played Call of Cthulhu, like us, when rolling for a skill or attribute check, like spot hidden is a skill and strength is an attribute, there are three values you can shoot for. There's a regular success, which involves rolling a percentile dice at or below your stat value. A hard success is rolled at the half the value of your stat. So if you had an 80 intelligence and you had to make a hard intelligence check, it would be 40 or lower on your percentile dice. And for your extreme success, it is a 1/5 value of your stat. So you got an extreme success. Donald, you really take a look at the corners. You're eyeballing it. You're looking at the window frame, how far the window sits into the wall. You're judging things. You look in the closets. You tap a little on the back wall. Seems to be fine. Seems to be copacetic. Nothing hidden here.
All right. Master checked off.
Yep. There is one additional room upstairs. There's one additional bedroom upstairs if you want to look at it.
I do.
Doesn't seem to be much in here. Make a spot hidden check.
Extreme success.
Once again, you get your eyes right into it, but still, there's nothing there to find.
All right. For crawl space or attic hatch next.
There is none.
All right. Done with this floor, then.
I wonder if we should investigate the basement. Perhaps there's some leaking sewer gas coming in that Karyo's inhaled or...
You can take a whiff at the top of the stairs if you don't want to go down there. If there's a gas that's coming up into the main floor, you can probably smell it from there.
Okay.
You can do what kind of check would that be?
Well, what the perception equivalent is.
Yeah. Don't really have one for that in Call of Cthulhu, I don't think. Go up to it and do an intelligence check.
Just straight up intelligence. Okay.
Yep, just do a straight up intelligence check.
Okay, so that's extreme success with 12.
Right. You stand there, and you get the smell. You smelled something.
Mm.
It smells like dust. It's kind of musty. Maybe there's a little bit of, after time, maybe there's a little bit of mildew down there. But nothing you would expect from, like, 2 years of kind of neglect.
Yeah, so it's nothing out of the ordinary.
For yeah, me. Exactly. Nothing out of the ordinary.
For a basement. And the stairs look really rickety.
Mm-hmm. They do not look entirely safe. And since Dottie, who I'm guessing is nothing compared to the big boxer, made an attempt to go down and then was like, it is not worth a broken leg to find out what's at the bottom of these stairs. Perhaps it's not.
Can we, like, lower a candle down a little bit to see if we can see anything?
Yeah, you can lower one down a bit. You can just kind of lean over and
take a look. Yeah.
You see, like, an unfinished floor kind of thing, like a dirt floor. You see some odds and ends down there. Nothing really of note.
It's likely the police didn't go down there if the stairs are that rickety.
Probably not, no. Odds are the police didn't go many places in this house.
Well, they would have had to have found the kids.
Yeah, and if the kids were either in the living room or in their bedroom or something, that's where they would have gone to look for them. They probably wouldn't have looked for them in the basement that's, like I said, got three bolts on it and a lock.
Okay.
Are you all done with the house?
I'm going to do the same check in the kids' room.
Sure, go for it.
Ooh, 26. That'd be
26.
Oh, that's not extreme, but it's the
hard success?
Hard success.
Two beds, toys, pictures of airplanes and cowboys. Let's get through. There's not any kind of occult iconography in this room.
All right. I think I'm good for upstairs then.
Okay.
I'll go back downstairs and then, actually, Dottie, when I get back downstairs, is there a way you can get a hold of the police report? You
being
a freelance newspaper.
Could persuade someone. Or try to, yeah, I could say that I'm writing like a news story or something like that and then ask for it.
I think that might be handy too.
Well, Jimmy reminds you that you have three other places that he's already mentioned that are possible places to find leads that you could make use of. One of them, Dottie, is fairly familiar with, and two others, which are public entities that you can walk into.
I don't see anything here. Let's hit up one of the book places.
So, the mentioned ones were the Boston Globe, the Central Library, and the Hall of Records. Right now, we're going to stop, and when we start up again, you guys are going to make that decision as to where you're going to go. Because tonight, it has been COJ Roleplaying, and with me has been Kate.
Hi, thank you.
Steve.
Have a good night, everybody.
Graham.
All right, see you next time, folks.
Goose.
Bye, everybody. Thanks for listening, and welcome to Season 2.
Mark.
Where will we go? Cliffhanger.
Cliffhanger. And I am Eric. I have been your keeper of arcane lore. If you want to find us, podcasts, or social medias, go to linktree.com/COJ Roleplaying and have an excellent evening. Goodbye.
Bye.